speech was yesterday. We'll be playing cuts of that. We're going to play you that SNL. I have to hear it again. I think I'm going to have to hear the Saturday Night Live parody at least once a day for the duration. I don't know. I may have to hear it every day until the election. I was playing it for a friend last night, and we were in tears laughing. I mean, because it's funny about Hillary Clinton as well as about Sarah Palin. And women, if we can't laugh at ourselves, then we're in real trouble. Now, before the break, I was talking to Derek in Fort Collins, who was worried about what Obama's plan will do to him because he's making so much money. And the reality is, I'll just quote a wealthy friend of mine to you. I did better in the Clinton years when I was paying more tax. And it's like, really, friend? Why? And she said, well, because I was making more money. And if you make more money, even if you're paying more taxes, you still take home more money. So just to let you know that particular thing. And by the way, the more money you make, the better tax accountants you can hire. And, the better way that you can plan your life. I mean, I'm not trying to say you must carry all of us on your back. But the reality is we're the middle class is carrying you on their backs right now. So where is the fairness in that? What is the justice in that? What is the economic sense in that? And the answer is there is none. The other thing is I got a very handy dandy chart, which now, of course, here it is. I've got it back up. I got sent it. It's a Washington Post graphic, and I'll try to remember to post it on my website. It shows what your tax liabilities will be. And this is before you take deductions and everything else. So, you know, if you're gross, and again, you pay taxes on what your income is after you take your deductions, as I understand it. I'm no genius, but I have done my own taxes in my life. I've also watched my the accountant I work with do mine very easily, my people, as they say. But, you know, the reality is, yes, you're right. In terms of you will pay more and get less of a tax deduction under Obama in terms of your income. But the reality is the economy will be better off overall. So do you want to have 8 more years of the same? The answer is I don't. I bet you don't either. It's 303-713-7600. Let's see. Your tax increase for $226,000 to $603,000 is nothing. You won't have a tax increase, and you won't have your tax increase will be negative 12. Now, under John McCain, allegedly, it'll be $7,800. But the reality is, that's not necessarily true. So make sure you check the fine print. And again, I'm no accountant, but I would rather pay. Here's what I'd rather do. I'd love to be making 300 grand. I don't even mind being taxed under Obama and have it go back to 39%. I paid 39% before in my life. I would skip to the bank paying 39% because I know what I ultimately end up paying when I'm in that tax range because I've invested as wisely as I possibly can with the limited amount of resources that I have. So, you know, there are ways. So I just want to grab everybody and go, Obama is so much better for your economic self-interest, especially if you're a small business person. I want to shake people and just go, investigate. He's better for health insurance. He's better for tax breaks. He's better for everything, for the economy overall. He understands it. John McCain doesn't get it. John McCain is selling out today. He's trying to pretend he's a populist. He's a wolf running around in populist clothing. Ron in Arvada, welcome on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Not that I'm passionate or anything. Hi, Ron. Welcome. How are you? Welcome. I'm sorry, Ann or Don? I'm sorry. Dan in Arvada. You know, yeah. Dan, my problem is John Turk always gives me the right name, but I sit here sometimes in my handwriting. I get so excited I write too fast. Sorry, Dan.
I'm good.
Excuse
you?
Me.
I'm good, and I actually wanted to talk to Derek a little bit because
sure.
It sounds like his gross is $250,000. It takes a lot more than that. He's probably, you know, his profit margin, if it was 50%, his gross would have to be $500,000 before he was making $250,000.
Yeah, so, that's what I didn't get either. I was like, excuse me, what are you paying before tax and after tax? Exactly,
yeah,
because it makes a huge difference.
It's sounding like it's gross as $250,000. And then I was also going to say what you already just said. You can earn between $229,000 and $600,000, and your taxes aren't going to go up. So I really don't think Derek has anything to worry about at all.
No, I don't either. And you know what? I do believe that the Social Security cap should be raised a little bit, because if people making $250,000 are going to, and they're wage people, then they should be paying Social Security too. This cutoff at $92,000. Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry, unfair. If you're, and this is only if they're taking Social Security out of your check, but you should bear the brunt too, because you're going to be collecting later.
And that's, I agree with that. I'm a small business, and I, you know, I'm willing to pay my fair share, and we all have to do that to help. And it's going to be a while before we get our business gets up high enough where we have to pay higher taxes too, because our growth is probably $450,000, mm-hmm. and it's going to be quite a while before we get to the point where Obama would raise our taxes. So. I'm okay with it.
And you've looked at that. And what do you think in terms, as a small business owner, I'm curious, because a lot of people are really worried about what will happen to the health insurance industry. Will we all go on single payer and we'll all be socialist?
I'm not concerned about that either. I'm hoping there's something that is like Medicare someday in the not too distant future that everybody can have. And instead of paying all the money that we pay to the insurance companies we have now, pay it to a source where it's a little more consistent and you get more for your money. I think that giving the insurance company the opportunity to decide who they're going to pay for and who they're not is terrible.
It's terrible because they cherry pick and they jack rates up, and then
exactly.
People who can't afford it are forced to go on emergency rooms and jack up insurance costs. And you know, before we all got into this mess, before deregulation and everything else, there were a lot of not-for-profit health insurance companies and not-for-profit hospitals in this country, and people were getting better health care, and everybody had insurance. As companies have been able to bail on their responsibility to pay for health insurance for their employees, because it's gotten too prohibitively costly. I'm not necessarily faulting small business people in particular for that, but I know how much I'm paying as an individual, and it makes my teeth itch. So I think one of the things that we have to do is, as a country, we can drive down the costs in many ways. We can have a Medicare system for people who can't afford it. But what people don't realize is, when my mother was on Medicare, for example, she had a supplementary policy with a private insurer who helped pick up the slack on the things that Medicare did not cover. And they made money on that. And with the baby boom generation, they'll make huge amounts on that.
And I have to agree. I just think that there's a better way to do it, because when the insurance company picks and chooses what tests they're going to pay for and deny some people a test, and they don't have the money to fight the insurance company, they basically don't get the test that they need because they just don't know how to fight the system.
Which makes people sicker, which costs more in the long run, which doesn't benefit people, because what do? When they can't afford anything, they stop buying insurance and they dump themselves in the public arena anyway and end up costing us 9,000 times more because you have to pay for emergency care rather than wellness care.
Exactly.
Drives me.
All right.
Thank you.
I just wanted to assure Darren that I don't think his taxes are going up by what I heard from him.
Oh, good. I'm glad you can reassure him. I appreciate it. Thanks for your help, Dan. I'm Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progress, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Now, granted, I'm for Obama for logical, good business reasons, too. I'm a self-employed businesswoman. I can't wait for Obama to take over the economy, and the charge of the U.S. Treasury. And oh, my goodness, I cannot wait for smart people to be back in government. I am eager. I am so excited. We will finally have a brain back in the White House. Charlie in Boulder, welcome to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. And believe you me, John McCain is not that brain.
Good
morning. Hi, Charlie.
Aaron.
Welcome.
How are you this morning?
And Sarah Palin certainly is not. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm also riled up.
I'm also a small business owner. And, you know, there's parallels to the Reagan administration. The deregulation has really caused this country great difficulty. And you're right on the money. And it's not just intelligent people. It's honest people. That's
yeah, I don't mean to sound
so
elitist, because goodness knows I can be a dope sometimes. I'm not trying to sound elitist. But it's honest people. It's people who tell you straight.
Yep, and here's part of it. I mean, as a small business owner, we do manufacturing. We got a project we're trying to bring work back for disabled veterans. And
good for you.
The companies, all these different projects were, you know, disadvantaged company. We did everything by the book to do this when we started up, and SBA has been shelled. You know, we needed money for
The Small Business Administration, right, which helps small businesses start. Good for them.
Right. Parts and pieces, just to, you know, assemble parts and pieces, they won't fund that. They'll fund a building. We're like, we don't want a building. We just need parts and pieces so we can put people to work.
Yeah.
It's been fairly well shelved. Also, we supply military, and, I've done some fairly advanced designs. I actually won a National Lighting Awards last year on some of our designs.
Congratulations. That's really difficult.
And it's really great, but it's still, the whole thing has been shelved. And we actually, this is no lie, but in the Department of Defense, we built some special lights for them. And they looked me straight in the eye, the top engineer, top undersecretary for all facilities, and said, you need to work with somebody. I said, what do you mean? They go, you need to be mentoring. And when I said, what do you mean? They go, well, this whole thing is locked up. I have to bow to the contractors because they have all the contracts. Even though by law they're supposed to give percentages back to small business and 8A programs, I'm telling
you. What's this, the mob?
This is the mob. Absolutely.
Oh,
they are organized beyond anybody's wildest dreams. And we're not lightweights. I mean, we have heavy people with heavy degrees. I've written lots of patents. I'm very intelligent. And we couldn't get through the system. I mean, it's that difficult. I've got contract managers, some of the best. Well, I actually got a row of books on my directors. I've had all kind of the best people on this, and I'm telling you, it's absolutely criminal what they've set up in this country.
So who do you believe is going to do the best job at streamlining the process for you to be able to get what you need from the Small Business Administration? See, because I think Obama, by being around the University of Chicago, learned a lot about our economic system. And he what I like about him is if it's a conservative idea and it's good, he'll use it. If it's a middle of the road idea, he'll use it. If it's a good, sound, liberal principle, he'll use it. That's what I like about him. And he understands the fundamentals of the way our economy and our government works.
It's the only hope we have is change. And I mean, I'm serious about this. It really is that severe. The conservatives have really shelled this privatization. I mean, let's go there.
Yeah, let's go to private. I'm sorry, I think you cut out, Charlie. But let's go there and pay infinitely more. This is what people don't understand. These guys are about, they're the socialists. They're about corporate welfare for the rich. That's what they're about. They want to abrogate all of their responsibilities and dump them all on you. You think the investor class pays as much taxes as you do proportionally? Just check out the Sage of Omaha. He'll tell you straight. He'll tell you, absolutely not. I'm paying less proportionally than my secretary is, and there's something wrong with that. You know, I'm really glad to hear from small business people this morning who are telling us straight that Barack Obama is your last best hope for recovery in this economy. You know, you want to have this mess back? Just vote for John McCain, because he's more of the same. He is Grampy McSame, to borrow a phrase from Stephanie Miller. Charlie in Boulder, welcome, and thank you for coming back when your phone let us down.
Something went busy. I got cut off.
Well, it wasn't us. It might have been McCain's machine, but it wasn't us.
I went, you know, maybe I'm being jammed. Who knows? Privatization, we got another part here. And, you know, and I watch this. It's like, you know, nobody, they don't think about this. The bottom line is they want to privatize organizations in the government that need to be in place. The organization, as far as regulations, has to be there. Or we're going to pay all of our monthly bills to one company called the utility companies. I mean, it's just the way it is. When they privatize, the basic bottom line is cut services, increase the bottom line for the corporation in there as much as possible year after year, and eventually problem or they fail.
Yeah.
And then the taxpayer bails them out, just like what we're seeing right now. Huge bailouts.
Yeah, and do you think we're going to be shareholders and get dividends? Right.
I don't think so.
Yeah, me either. Charlie, thank you so much for your call. I'm really encouraged by hearing from small business people who are like my friends up here in Washington who are telling me, are you kidding me? We're independent business people, and we cannot wait for Barack Obama to be elected president.
Absolutely.
Amen, brother. Everybody go to the polls, 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. Isn't it encouraging to know we have intelligent small business people going after inventions to help our veterans and inventions? See, this is what we're talking about. This is the hope of America. And the hope of America right now is Barack Obama for change, isn't it? There's not a doubt in my mind. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart. filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Time for Progressive Traffic with John Turk.
It's going to take a man of action and a proven reformer to clean up Wall Street, and that man is Senator John McCain.
Does anybody believe more of the same McCain echoing policies from 25 years ago that got us in this mess in the first place? Excuse me, 28 years ago. Ronald Reagan, let's deregulate everything. How's that working so far? Now that we're the proud owners of AIG, Freddie and Fannie, and everybody else, soon we'll be a socialist country. Why is that? Because of corporate welfare. Because of financial shenanigans, because unregulated rampant greed. Some rules are there for a reason, as any mother or auntie of a teenager will tell you. Come on. Human nature is human nature. They'll go after it as hard as they can. They'll steal, lie, and do everything. You know, look, Dick Cheney, what was it, was prescient enough 30 years ago to go, let's privatize the military. Then I can make money off Halliburton, arg. Then I can go after, I'm sorry, I'm borrowing Keith Olbermann's noise for Rupert Murdoch. Arg, I can go after and pirate everything. I can have all of my people working in Iraq, cheating everybody out of all the money. You want to know where our money's going? You know why our economy's going? You know why we can't afford health insurance from public or private entities? Ah, why? That would be because our money is tanking, because we're giving Halliburton, Blackwater, and everybody else all of our money. What a good plan. Wrong. So wrong choice. You really believe we're on the right track? Please ask people who came up under Ron, you know, people, but ask small business owners, just go to them. I don't care what business they're in. Go to them and ask them if they were doing better under Bill Clinton's regime. Ask them. They'll tell you, we were paying more taxes, but we carried home more money in our pockets because we were making gross more than we were making now. 303-713-7600. Oh, Katie Couric is going to be talking to Sarah Palin. Her broadcast on the 29th and 30th on CBS Evening News, early show. Not sure if it'll be on 60 Minutes. She's doing it just in time for her debate. Apparently, the McCain administration, not content with lying their faces off in ads, has decided to dole out an interview, a soupçon of credibility to Katie Couric, because, oh, well, we don't want to talk to Brian Williams because we're mad at Keith Olbermann because he makes fun of us. Well, you know what? NBC is laughing all the way to the bank because they're leading in the ratings. Apparently, those of us who are liberals and progressive watch TV. Go figure. Cal in Littleton, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Yes.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. Say, I wanted to express a concern that I have. I think that the Obama-Biden campaign is heading down the same wrong track that the Kerry campaign did. They didn't respond to the flip-flop attacks and the strip vote attacks, and the Obama campaign is doing nothing to expose the fraud that is Palin.
Actually, I think attacking Palin is not Obama's job. I think that is surrogate's jobs, generally speaking, because I think when he criticizes her, he needs to go after McCain. That's when he's been going after
wrong.
McCain hard and heavy. I disagree
wrong.
With you. I think Biden could go after her harder, definitely. How would you have them go out? What would you have them say?
Well, she is the reason that McCain has gotten this huge bounce. She is the rock star for the Republicans.
Yeah, except
she's,
you know what?
She's what's attracting people to. And unless we expose her, we are going to lose this election. And
excuse
this is how
me.
I'd go after her.
Okay.
This is how I'd go after her. I'd attack her for several things. One, of course, the Bridge to Nowhere, which is, you know, is a fraud. Secondly,
yes.
Her being involved in the separatist movement in Alaska.
That was her husband. She's gone to meetings and said she approved. Go ahead.
But she said she approved, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and I understand that we have her on videotape on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then those are two really, really good areas. But unless we go after the number one reason that McCain has gotten the boost in the polls, we're going to lose. Because if you go after her,
yeah.
Then you expose his lack of making a
his
wise
judgment.
Decision.
Yes,
and,
no,
yeah,
absolutely.
And,
you couch it.
And it goes after him also.
you couch it in terms of his judgment, and I agree with you. But here's the other thing I have to tell you, though. Take a little bit of heart. Last night on Keith Olbermann's show, I think he was quoting the latest Newsweek poll.
Uh-huh.
She was, when she first started out, she has actually lost. She was her unfavorables used to be 30, and her favorables were 36. They are now her unfavorables are 52, and her favorables are 48. So what's happened, she's lost. She's losing ground. She is becoming unfavorable. This is in the last 3 days.
That's good.
I think there's something called the Saturday Night Live effect. I was writing a friend of mine, and I said, look, well, there's something called the Colbert bump. So if Stephen Colbert can give you a bump if you appear on his show, as far as I'm concerned, if you're Tina Fey making unmerciful fun of her, you definitely can eviscerate perhaps some of her popularity. And the reason is, here's why I think that's a good thing to do. You got to be, it's tricky, and I know because we're still a sexist society, Cal.
I understand.
You have to be careful when you're beating up on a woman. You really do.
Well,
I don't like it.
We're not beating up on her. We're beating up on her policies and what she stands for.
I understand that, but people still believe that it's beating up on her. So what I think the reality is, Cal, is the more we make fun of her and say lightheartedly, oh, teleprompter problems, perhaps, which you don't really have. You know, if you keep making fun of her on a popular culture level, because I think people are paying more attention to that stuff.
Well, that's kind of like beating up on her, too. But see, I think we can go after her for when she was mayor of the huge city of Wasilla, 7,000 people. When she became mayor, there was a surplus. When she left, there was a huge deficit.
A huge deficit.
And she imposed new taxes. And if they would come on the air with ads stating, does this remind you of something that's been happening with the Bush administration?
Same thing
happened in the city of Wasilla.
They do have a lovely ad that John tells me won't really play well on radio, and I think I agree with him because it's got sound. But check out the new Obama ad. Was it on the Wall Street Journal link? I think so. But Google the latest Obama ad on McCain and the economy because it's searing and it's devastating, and it goes after his record on the economy. So they are fighting back, and I think they're fighting back on a plane that will work for them. And I hope you're wrong that this is going to be swift voting. But I will take your comments into consideration. I started the show saying that she was absolutely fair game because let's put it this way. And Robert Greenwald, the filmmaker who we're trying to book this week, has been urging him to release his medical records. Because you remember he let his medical records out for like 3.5 minutes to a dozen reporters and wouldn't let them look at anything. Excuse me, if she's going to be a heartbeat away from the presidency and she's this green and inexperienced on a national stage, you bet your boots I want her vetted. And they didn't vet her. And that alone, I think, calls John McCain's impetuousness into question. I do not trust him to run my government. Thank you very much.
Well, I think the key to defeating McCain is through Palin.
You may be right, and I'll toss it out there for other listeners to talk about, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cal. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the Jay Marvin Show. Look, I'm saying go after her, but I think if you elevate her, you also have to watch elevating her. Because she's losing ground already. Why is she losing ground? Because in this case, I think familiarity breeds a little contempt. It's 303-713-7600. We're going to replay that Saturday Night Live bit for you, by the way. And, those of you who are yearning to know more about Barack Obama's economic policies, fear not. We have Austin Goolsbee, one of his chief senior economic advisors, who will be joining us in the next hour to talk about Barack Obama's policies. So stay tuned for that. He's giving a speech today in the Denver area. I'll be more specific in a minute. But it's very exciting because I'm really glad we have him. Austin Goolsbee is going to be joining us in the next hour. And Brad in Denver, Sean, Teresa, I'll get to you coming right up at 7:34 in the morning time for Colorado's Progressive Traffic with John Turk.
Today he claimed the congressional stimulus package was his idea. That's news to those of us in Congress who supported it. Senator Obama didn't even show up to vote.
Ooh, I'll have to ask Austin Goolsbee if that's true, that he didn't vote on the economic stimulus package. He may say, well, I don't know. You know, the reality is, John McCain is so out of touch and out of it. He's yesterday's news. 303-713-7600. It is, I'd love to talk to you and to talk to you about the Barack Obama campaign, about our economy. Certainly, we're becoming investors in our economy because we own most everything now. Can anybody, you know, really, the right-wing Republicans, what they do is they go, look over here, look over here. We're really socialistic, you know, everything owned by us. You know, they're the quasi-state. They're like, you know, hi, we'll buy up everything and then dump it on you and make you pay. How nice is that? And we'll reap the benefits and collect all the huge salaries. John McCain came out yesterday and said, by the way, if you're a libertarian, you should pause before you ever vote for John McCain. Because yesterday he was in his populist disguise, wink, wink. He was talking about, yeah, I'm going to regulate the excessive salaries of moguls. That doesn't even pass the laugh test. Brad in Denver, welcome to AM760 Progressive Talk. Can you see John McCain, Mr. Keating 5 scandal, saying, hi, I'm going to regulate how much you're paid? Is he going to tell Cindy how much? Oh, that's right. They pay her other ways. Oops. Oh, that was cold. I think she's off drugs. Hi, Brad in Denver. Welcome.
How are you?
I am well. Fired up and ready to go.
I need to correct you on something, though. We do not own AIG. The Federal Reserve owns AIG.
That is true.
The Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express.
Well, I thought it was the central bank bought AIG, wasn't it?
The Federal Reserve bailed them out, and that's a private corporation. Has nothing to do with the federal government.
That's not true. The taxpayers are responsible for it. It's not true.
It's a private.
We gave them a bridge loan, okay?
Federal and if they Reserve.
Right. I'm telling you, okay. We'll talk to him about that, but okay. I'll mention it to him. I don't wonder why every single person I've heard from the BBC this morning to AP Network News, everybody says that the taxpayers bailed them out.
The Federal Reserve bailed them out.
Mm-hmm.
But the Federal Reserve is not a federal entity. Private corporation.
Let's see, creating a 7-member board of governors, Fed chairman, 12 regional banks, a structure collectively known as the Federal Reserve System. They are appointed by the president, approved by Congress. Regional banks are created by leaders of the community, especially bankers. Private bankers controlled the flow of credit and thus interest rates in the late 1900s. It was a compromise. The banks would remain the lenders to the public, but the Fed would control the supply of funds. I'll ask him whether it's a private entity. I'll be happy to. If I'm misspeaking, I'm happy to.
Look up on the Internet the monster of Jekyll Island.
Uh-huh. I'll go ahead and ask Austin Goolsbee. I'll be content with that. Go ahead.
The Monster of Jekyll Island is a book about how these 7 banking families came up with this idea and got President Wilson to okay it and approve it and ran it through Congress. It's a private corporation.
Okay, I still think the taxpayers are on the hook for AIG, but go ahead.
Oh, we probably are on the hook, but it doesn't mean that we own it.
Uh-huh.
Because the Federal Reserve owns it.
Well, we do own.
The taxpayers do not.
And we don't own Freddie Mae or Fannie Mae. Yeah, right. Okay. Whatever. I think we do. But you go ahead and think what you think, Brad, and I'll check it out with Austin Goolsbee. Go ahead. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
That's it.
Okay. Thanks a bunch.
Sure.
I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Sean in Laramie, Wyoming. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm well.
Hey, you know, you were talking about socialism's good for wealthy people, which it is. But here's another example. I live in, you know, obviously Wyoming, and I have a buddy who runs the rural. Well, he's the XO for the Rural Electric Association, the REA. And basically, what these folks get are, you know, it's for all ranchers all over Wyoming who get, you know, a federal subsidy to help them pay for the electricity that's run to the ranches. And, you know, I guess what
the
I
rural
want to say,
electrification program wired us up in Nunn, Colorado, too.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, see, it's all over. But, you know, it's another example of, you know, here's a socialistic project, if you want to label it socialistic.
Sure.
That, you know, it's okay for them to do to get that money. But, you know, on any other things like health care, We can't do that. We need to privatize it. And, you know, it's just kind of a hypocritical thing.
It's totally hypocritical. It's ridiculous. And it's not like if people are healthier and have more money, if people have electricity, guess what? They'll be able to get to work because they'll have alarm clocks that work. Won't have to live in an agrarian economy because we'll have light after dark. What an amazing concept.
Or you can get back to even the ranching community. The reason why I want to bring this up is because if you have small business owners, as a small business owner, wouldn't you love a co-op or an association that provided you a subsidy for your electricity? I mean, if it's good enough for Republicans, why can't it be good enough for everybody else? The other thing I wanted to point out here is, you know, Sarah Palin, here's my take on Sarah Palin. The one guy, you know, it's those subtle little things that the one guy said, hey, look, you know, her big town of Wasilla. The fact of the matter is those little puns or those little pokes really turn people off. They turn independents off. Hey, look, it's a small town. They still have their problems. People have
to run them.
And so don't belittle it because you're belittling everybody who's
Barack Obama, I think, has more experience, but on the other hand, he's not as experienced as perhaps some people can get. It's like if you concentrate on John McCain only let a small little group of people in the military in a Senate office, big deal.
Right.
I mean, Carly Fiorina was dripping sarcasm yesterday when she said none of those candidates could run it. And I felt like going, and you got kicked out of Hewlett-Packard, too. Who the hell do you think you are? I am diametrically opposed to most everything Carly Fiorina says. So it's like... Go ahead.
I just want to point this out about Palin, though. Wyoming right now and Alaska are running budget surplus. So
right.
She points to the fact that she's, you know, some queen that has brought this budget surplus to the state. Well, the fact of the matter is the oil, the way the oil and the economy has brought the budget surplus
to
our state. And now what
it's helping
really
Wyoming,
do,
too.
Right, exactly. I mean, we're running a budget surplus. Times are really good for us, you know. And I don't want to bite the hand that feeds us. But on the other hand, yeah, she says she's running a budget surplus and that she made all these cuts. Well, it's not from the cuts that she got the budget surplus from. If you can't zero balance your budget at the end of the year with the kind of economy that Wyoming and Alaska have, then you're really a moron. But what you have to do now is you have to really scrutinize the programs that she cut because she does have the money, more than enough money. For the types of programs, the social programs or co-op programs or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
So I really think you can scrutinize her record to say, no, she just doesn't believe in these programs because, yes, she had the money, and then she cut them.
Well, and the other thing she did.
And then on top of it, she's asking for all these, pork.
Alaska gets more pork barrel money with Ted Stevens in charge, who, by the way, she has supported on down the line until it'll be interesting to see if she asks for his support in this election since he's under indictment.
I'm going to close on this. This is how if I was like running the campaign, I would do this. I would tie, obviously they're doing a good job of tying McCain to Bush, but I would tie Palin to Cheney because religiously, I think she's the neocon that Cheney is. And the other thing is this. I would run a tagline to say they are the bridge to nowhere. I would tie them up in that pork barrel program because they are. And
McCain-Palin, they're the real, we'd be on the bridge to nowhere. Excellent.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much.
McCain-Palin, they are the bridge to nowhere.
I
would run that tagline and I would just say, yeah, if they want to be, yeah. Anyway. I appreciate listening to you.
I love that, and thank you for waiting, and thank you for calling from Laramie, Wyoming, Sean. I'll wave the next time I'm driving by on 80. That makes so much sense, doesn't it? By the way, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and everybody reports that the government seized control of the insurance giant and that, the government now owns the bank, seized control of it. So, excuse me, that means it's nationalized for all practical purposes, which means... taxpayers. Teresa in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
The reason why I was calling is because I've heard a little bit about this, but not much. Basically, a growing axis between Iran, China, and Russia.
Yes.
And I just want to know maybe why nobody's really talking about it. We have to talk about lipstick and pregnant teenagers, but
yeah,
we can't
I want to talk about
this issue.
Yeah, have you heard about Pakistan? I mean, one of the reasons why General Petraeus is going back to lead up CENTCOM is because he needs to take control of Afghanistan, which apparently we're losing. I heard from Brookings Institution and three conservative outlets yesterday, and all of them agree on one thing. Violence in Afghanistan is so bad, it's also spilling over into Pakistan. Meantime, Iran is appealing to China and Russia to give them money and to support their system and to create their strength, which we, by the way, strengthened with the war in Iraq. Yeah, I don't know why people aren't talking about that either. Good point, Teresa. It's like the world is in more jeopardy. And Barack Obama has been talking about security in Pakistan. You know, remember that debate where they asked him? It was early on. I think that's when he started to surge ahead, actually. Somebody asked him about Pakistan. He said, I personally think Pakistan is probably the most dangerous thing we're facing right now, followed closely by Afghanistan. I was like, yeah. Yay, someone who understands the way the world is really working. Do you know who, got the first oil contract in Iraq, by the way? Do you know who it was? China.
Oh, China.
China. We actually rebuilt their infrastructure. We created a country so that they could sell their oil to China.
Yeah.
I mean, this is why we need a new energy policy. This is why we have to become the kings and queens of green. This is why we have to get busy having Barack Obama president of the United States, in my mind.
Well, I guess my concern is if we already are $1 trillion in debt with China, and who's going to finance our next war when we have problems with Iran? If there's this partnership between Iran and China, is China going to come to our rescue, or are they just going to say, well, you're in our pocket now, there's nothing we're going to do? And so when we've got Sarah Palin being flipped, saying that we can't second guess, our friends if there's a problem. We don't have any money. There's no money left to help anybody else out.
Well, it's like the military. We stretch the military to the max. Our government, our budgets are stretched to the max. We're in debt up to our eyeballs, and they're not even counting the war as part of the cost. And we had a guest on yesterday, Linda Bilmes, who was talking about it's a $3 trillion war. We're headed there. We've already spent about $1 trillion. We're headed to $3 trillion in costs.
Yeah.
Imagine how many bridges that would build to somewhere. And we'd be going somewhere.
Build a bridge to Canada.
We could build a bridge to the rest of the world. It's metaphorical, it's physical, it's everything. Thank you very much, Teresa. I appreciate your concern and your comments. 303-713-7600. Why are we talking about lipstick? Good question. Because that's the distraction. That's the deflection. The Republicans are masters at it. We have to keep reining them in. And we have to work even harder because there are fewer liberal outlets than there are right-wing conservative outlets. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart. Filling in on the J. Marvin Show, time for Progressive Traffic with John Turk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. We've only got a few more seconds today. So this hour. So I am going to bring you back with Austin Goolsby coming up and more of your phone calls all on the J. Marvin Show. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in.